Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Game. He's only missed one playoff game of his eight-year career.
So not missing time.
Yeah, not missing time. Okay. And then when he's come back from injuries, he's been the same. I think ACL injuries in general, for most athletes, it's a serious injury. It has a long timetable, but when you come back from it, you're fully recovered. And yeah, there might be some rustiness for him to get out, but there's an expectation that he'll be Clay. Talking to his agent, he's told me and others that the thought is that he'll be back at some point December, February. Now, that's Clay thinking. I'm sure the Warriors training staff will also have a say in it, but I think there's general optimism that once he's back, after that initial wave of getting his timing down, that he'll be back to normal.
Chilton Autobody text line 408, Mark. Can you imagine Willie Cauley-Stein making no defensive effort with Draymond standing right there? I doubt it. Also think he has a nice mid-range shot. Yeah, the mid-range shot's been in his game the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
But as far as Draymond goes, well, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that goes back to the accountability system. Like, if he misses a rotation, Draymond's going to unleash some F-bombs to him, and he won't put up for it. And I think because of who Draymond is as a person, the fact that Cauley-Stein's a young player, like, those kind of exchanges all of a sudden make that player shook a little bit, and it's instant behavior modification.
And you look at another text here that we had come in. We were talking about DeMarcus Cousins dropping 20 pounds, and 831 says, dang, why couldn't DeMarcus have lost that weight when he was with the Warriors? I mean, the injuries.
Yeah, the injuries
and the rehab.
And the off season is when you lose weight. You know, the reality of the NBA is that a lot of times the end game is more about recovery than getting in the weight room. And I think that applies. I mean, it's much less important, but like, we're talking about ourselves, and Mark Spears is joking, hey, I need to lose weight. Like, it's when you're on the road, like, I've been told, because I keep this stuff seriously, from a nutritionist, with all the time that you have, it's more important to get as much rest and sleep as opposed to, hey, fit in some kind of weight training session at a hotel weight room than anything else. So more importantly, for professional athletes, they spend their off days more focusing on being in the training room as far as seeing doctors than trying to pump iron in the weight room.
Right. It's more about recovery and like you say, rest and recovery.
Right.
And if you can't do anything, you know, if you can't get that workout in, make sure you're getting enough sleep.
Right.
If you can do both, obviously that's ideal. But yeah, I've been told similar things there. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. John Dickinson, Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. Who's going to be the starting small forward for the Warriors? Right? I mean, we had Glenn Robinson III on earlier, the first time he's really spoken with anybody in the Bay Area. Great interview. Seems like a sharp guy. Understands where he's at in his career. Understands why the Warriors are a nice opportunity for him, having a void there. But if I put Glenn Robinson III and Alphonso McKinney, who we've seen play enough in the last year to kind of know the type of player he is. And then Alec Burks, somebody who's been in the NBA since 2011, was actually drafted, right after Klay Thompson?
Yeah, number 12.
Like, you're 11 and 12 in that draft. How do you stack up that race right now with 2.5 months to go before training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all subject to change, and that's what's going to be the theme through this season. But I would give the edge to Alec Burks for now because he has more experience. He's more developed as a player. But I could also see Steve Kerr thinking, well, maybe he's better off with the second unit because maybe, relatively speaking, the Warriors can absorb Alphonso McKinney being out there with the fact that Steph Curry and Draymond Green will be there to hold everything down. I mean, that's something that he has done in the past of trying to stagger lineups and, you know, maybe have someone more accomplished with the second unit, just to kind of offset the difference between the starters and the reserves. But
I think it's all subject to change because of play, matchups, and there's no perfect solution. Like, you lose Kevin Durant, that's already a challenge enough, but because of the fact that you're having a bunch of role players at the wing spot shows that there's no easy answers for it.
I asked you this earlier, and then we never got back to it. We had Mark Spears on, and we can kind of throw it out on the phone lines as well.
Yeah.
At 888-957-9570. Is there a number of games that you think Stephen Curry and Draymond Green have to play to where the Warriors become a lock to be a playoff team?
Well, I was looking up the game logs last season, and I can tell you this. Steph Curry missed 11 games because of a left groin, and then he sat like two, just end of the season, so 13 games. Draymond missed 13 games because of that right toe injury, and then maybe a few handful there. If that happens again this season, I don't see them making the playoffs. So, like, them sitting out for 11 games and then Draymond 13 games. Like, last year, I think there was an overlap of those injuries, so that made it challenging enough. But they had Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. They can't afford to have that happen again. And if one of them happens, I could see them slightly treading water but still being below 500 during their absence. So it's going to very much require the Warriors to navigate such a fine line of they're not going to load manage them to open the season because they're healthy right now. But they got to be conservative with their minutes and their workload. I'd have to say
75 games.
I'd have to say both of them have to be at least 70, 75, yeah.
In the 70s and anything in the 70, 72, and then anything under 70, it becomes problematic.
That, and I would also have to say they can't be missing a significant chunk of games in a row. Like, maybe if there's one-off rest games, hey, someone has an ankle tweak or whatever, but for Steph to miss 11 games in a row, Draymond to miss 13 games in a row, they can't have those chunks of double-digit games or even five.
You've got a better shot with D'Angelo Russell in the mix to win a few games if you don't have Stephen Curry.
Yeah,
but
Warriors, it's still tough.
The Warriors are in a boat now where Stephen Curry misses 10 games in a row, they might go 2-8.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, you know, this isn't what it's been in the past where they might go 6-4, 7-3.
Right.
You know, or 9-1 or 10-0 without Kevin Durant. You know, but you still have a couple of the other guys in the mix there. This is a different ball game that we're going to see from this Warriors team. And again, we're just talking about if they're going to make the playoffs in 2019-20. Forget about championship. That's kind of out in the distance for next year, unless Klay Thompson comes back and they're in a position where they're in the middle of the Western Conference at that point, and then they're adding to what's already become a solid core.
Yeah, and Mark Spears, when he was on the show today, he made a really excellent point about just all this, and he was saying, hey, they could be a sixth seed, but it really hinges on how well can these guys be healthy, what their workload is. It's going to fall under those two guys. I think, you know, the point that Mark was making is that right now it's just about rest and recovery for their offseason. But the unfortunate reality is they got the consequences of being a really good team last year without the benefits of hoisting the trophy. They played through June, and so they're entering next season with a lot of mileage.
Looking at the Western Conference and the way things ended up last year, I want to run through some teams, and we'll just kind of rapid fire. We'll go in order of the way the standings finished from the regular season. And I'm just going to say, we're going to play better or worse.
Yeah.
Right? Better or worse. Denver Nuggets, better or worse?
They
won 54 games.
Yeah, I think they're slightly better. But they're not going to be number two because of the other teams. But I think they're mostly the same. And I think they'll be better because of, for the most part, having continuity.
Yeah, they have maybe the most continuity of any team as far as, like, players that are returning for next season. And they wind up with Millsap back in the fray there. Portland, are they better or worse? No, I think they're the most untalked about team in the Western Conference so far.
They're always the most untalked about team. I think they're better because of continuity. They still have Dame.
They added Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, they got Whiteside.
To try and help him get through not having Nurkic for a good portion
of
this year.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's game changers, but continuity and, you know, what the Spurs would say, corporate knowledge, like that means a lot for the Warriors. That means a lot to a lesser extent for these teams. So, yeah, they got better.
Are the Rockets better or worse? And we talked about that a little bit earlier with the Westbrook trade.
Yeah, they're better because they don't have the injury situation with Chris Paul and no tension with James Harden. But I still think they're flawed. They're still good, but are they better just slightly? But that's still a good thing about Houston because they were a good team to begin with.
I think the Utah Jazz, they're definitely better. Right?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. They're better. But all these teams that we've been talking about, it's not the game changers that we're about to get to with the Clippers and the Lakers. So
Oklahoma City's worse.
Yeah, they're out of the playoffs.
And they're comfortable being worse. They go down a couple of levels. The Spurs, are the Spurs better or worse? They're another team continuity, and they're getting DeJounte Murray back. I would have liked to have seen DeMarcus Cousins wind up there.
Yeah.
I think he would have helped make them better. And I know some laugh at, well, boy, you're going to put Popovich with DeMarcus Cousins. I think that could have actually worked.
Yeah. They're slightly better because of continuity, and the Spurs are always the Spurs, but nothing major happened, and they could be a team that they have a chance to make a playoffs as, you know, a 7th or 8th seed, but they could be on the outside looking in.
The Clippers, obviously, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George,
they're number one.
They're better. How much better are they?
Yeah,
are they
the best?
You think they're the best team in the Western Conference
now? They're the best team in the Western Conference because what you have is you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George that are both seen as team-oriented guys. So, you know, there might be some adjustments from an X's and O's and a role standpoint, but they're playing really good. Kawhi is playing his best basketball right now. You have a lot of good depth with the Clippers. You have a lot of good coaching. You have a lot of good front office synergy. And the comparing to the other LA team, the Lakers, they have LeBron James, but he's coming off a major injury. You wonder, is this the beginning of other injuries that he's going to have to deal with? Anthony Davis has never been seen as durable. And in fairness to the Lakers, they had a decent plan B, much better personnel that they got compared to last offseason where they have shooters now. But they're an injury or two away of not having it at all. So the Clippers have the obvious advantage over the Lakers and the fact that Doc Rivers is in a much better position than Frank Vogel is as a coach, both because of who Doc Rivers is as a coach. But Frank Vogel, I mean, they almost undermined him the immediate time they hired him, where he was the third choice behind Tyronn Lue and Williams. And then
now you got Jason Kidd there, too.
You have Jason Kidd already politicking. And I hate to speculate, but Jason Kidd has a track record.
No doubt.
He's going to undermine him.
No doubt.
So
yeah. There's
going to be drama next year with the Lakers. There always is. So the Clippers have the advantage.
Sacramento is better, but I still think they're not quite a playoff team.
Yeah.
And I also think their starting point is – I don't think their starting point is 39. From last year. I think they overachieved a little bit to get to the 39. So I think they're better, but I view them more as a 34, 35 win team getting a little bit better than a 39 win team getting a little bit better.
Yeah, I like Luke Walton as a coach. You know, my time covering him with the Lakers, I think that he handles a very young team well. You know, there was obviously criticism last year when he was the Lakers of how he handled LeBron. I think a lot of it, you know, when you account for everything, even if there was a fair questions to be asked about his X's and O's savviness, the fact that he didn't have a lot of experience on his coaching staff, a la, you know, having a Ron Adams, so to speak, the Lakers did not set him up and put him in a position to succeed. They did not have the right personnel. And I think, you know, he held his own. I like him as a coach. I think that they have a chance to make the playoffs, but they have a young team, so you never know.
Lakers are better. You've spoken. I mean, clearly you get Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
A lot of the young players that were there are taking the blame, right? It was Lonzo's fault. It was Ingram's fault. I don't know that it was Josh Hart's fault, but it was Lonzo's fault. It was Ingram's fault, and now you get Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah.
So, and you bring a lot of the same veterans back. You add DeMarcus Cousins. They're a better team. I mean, I'd be stunned. I mean, they're a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, assuming there's a good clean bill of health, to LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I think Minnesota and Memphis are worse.
Yeah.
I think the Pelicans and the Mavericks are better, and I think Phoenix is still...
inept.
Eh. I mean, what were they doing?
Yeah. I mean, they passed on D'Angelo Russell because they thought, oh, well, he's not a good influence on Booker. You know, they're good
friends.
You
need talent.
You need talent. And yeah, there's fair questions to be asked about D'Angelo, but you need talent. Yeah, New Orleans got a lot better. I mean, given the fact that Anthony Davis wanted out and that was clear that partnership was not going to last, David Griffin made a hell of a deal of getting a lot of good young pieces back. They're almost what the Lakers were 2 years ago, like literally, right?
Yeah.
They got a lot of their young core. And Alvin Gentry's a great coach. So I think that it's a lot of young guys, but they could squeeze into a playoff picture, or at least be that like 9-10th seed.
Yeah, I think they're probably just short of a playoff spot. I think if I said Sacramento, the Pelicans, Dallas, which one of those teams would be the most likely to sneak into a playoff spot, who would you say?
You said Sacramento. I think Pelicans because of
Pelicans and Dallas
and Gentry's coaching. Dallas, Rick Carlisle's great. If they have ever been trying to tank, like he prevents it from even being worse. I would give them the second nod, and then Sacramento would be the third.
Okay, that's interesting. I wonder, and I think Luke Walton with Sacramento is a good fit. I wonder if they lose a little bit of an X's and O's advantage that they
had
that actually helped them. Because everything Dave Yeager in terms of culture isn't, he is in terms of X's and O's. And I think it's almost if you took Luke Walton and Dave Yeager and you put them together and made them one guy, they'd be the perfect head coach.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always the thing that, you know, you always you're weighing about coaches. Like, does it matter that they can draw up a play, or does it matter that they can manage personalities? My sense overall, whether it's with a championship team, a la the Warriors with Steve Kerr, or a rebuilding team, like with what Luke Walton faced with the Lakers, and maybe a lesser extent here with the Kings, it's always about managing personalities more than anything else. And relating to players and bringing the best versions out of themselves.
Quick question here from the 415 on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Is there a chance that D'Angelo Russell faces disciplinary action by the league for the pot bust at, was it LaGuardia Airport?
Yeah.
I think back in early May, that first weekend of May. I actually had forgotten that had even taken place. Were you somewhat up to speed on that as far as, you know, when the Warriors acquired him, obviously knowing that had happened and was still kind of pending?
You know, to be frank, I didn't have an ask or thought about it. And only because there's so much going on with free agency, and that had passed. That incident was a few months ago.
Sure.
I haven't read or heard any plans, but, you know, it doesn't hurt to check the league office, see what they think.
Yeah. Exactly. And hey, there's plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
It is July 13th. And what, media day, as we start looking at things, we can always book in that final Monday, right, of media day, what, the 23rd of September, right around there?
Oh, man.
23rd,
let's, 30th. Let's enjoy these next 2 months, right? It's usually the last week of September.
It actually might even be the 30th, because I think this is actually the year where the calendar pushes back a little bit.
Yeah.
I know the league moved it up, but I actually think this year, just in terms of like where the finals were, I think that's about as early as they wanted the last game of the finals to be, if that makes sense. So I actually think it might be, it's going to look a little later in terms of overall days than maybe it was before.
It's going to be an interesting preseason, though, because they have four games against the Lakers, two of them at Chase Center, two of them down at Staples Center. It's going to be a lot of buzz for just preseason basketball.
Yeah, no, it really is. And we know the date of the Warriors' preseason game. The first game at Chase is October 5th, a Saturday.
Yeah.
Warriors-Lakers. And you said already locked in, they're going to play each other again?
I think it's four times.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
The Warriors and the Lakers are playing each other four times?
Yeah, because the Lakers have announced their preseason schedule.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm just going off of this.
I didn't know that. I know the Lakers always play in Vegas, right?
Yeah, so look at this. They're playing the Warriors October 5th at Chase Center. Then they play each other at Staples Center October 14th. Another game at Staples Center October 16th.
What?
Then they go back.
What?
To October 18th at Chase Center.
That can't be right.
Yes.
That can't be right.
I am being dead serious. Four times. October 5th, October 14th, 16th, and 18th. Being dead serious, JD. I'll send you the release right now.
Really? Yeah, please do. Like, really?
Yes.
You know what that seems like to me?
It's a money grab.
Well, yes. Yes, a money grab. But it also seems like it's one of those where, like, you know how sometimes you go to, like, an arena website and you check, like, dates of things and they have, like a null date? Like, just like, oh, yeah, this event's coming, but there's, like, no date, but they have to put a date in just to space hold it. But it's not really that date. Wow.
I just texted you the link here. So
I appreciate that. Yeah,
October 5th, Chase Center, Warriors, Lakers. And then they're going to be in L.A. for a few days. They're going to enjoy it. And I wouldn't be surprised, as much as these games are going to draw at the box office, it's inevitable, especially at the end of training camp. Some of these guys are going to be sitting.
888-957-9570. We'll get to Gary St. Jean coming back as well on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina. We still have time for some phone calls. 888-957-9570. But right now, it's a pleasure to be joined by the one and only Gary St. Jean. Saint, you're at Cape Cod?
Well, somebody's got to go back here and take care of this beautiful part of the country.
And you're the right man for the job.
Well, I'm sampling the lobsters, the steamers, the oysters. Pretty darn good.
Break down the X's and O's there. What do you think of the taste?
That's a hell of a life you've carved out for yourself there, Saint.
When you get to be as old, you're entitled to do these things.
Good stuff. Hey, you know, we were just before the break, Medina had the Lakers preseason schedule up. Right? Because I guess it's already out. Go figure. It's July 13th. If you need more Warriors-Lakers in your life, apparently they're playing four times in the preseason this coming year. Have you ever heard of that?
No. I've heard of two, maybe three. You know, we always did a home-and-home somewhere with them all the time, whether in Sacramento or with the Warriors. We've gone over to Hawaii and had training camp there and played a couple games there with them. And they like to play games in Vegas, sometimes in San Diego, sometimes in Fresno. Four is a lot. I bet they're playing at big venues.
Well, how about this, Gary? They're playing October 5th at Chase Center, and then they're going to play October 14th at Staples Center, the 16th at Staples Center, going back the 18th to play at Chase Center, but the Lakers, they're playing in China on October 12th, and then somehow, some way, playing in L.A. on October 14th.
Wow. Well, that's getting some mileage out of your troops and raising some extra funds. There's no doubt about it. they're pretty smart. Two at home, two away with the Warriors. Those are automatic full houses. And, you know, in the old days, Kobe used to be huge in China. Nobody's been bigger over there. Steph Curry and Clay are pretty big over there, but that's amazing.
Well, it looks like they've mapped this thing out where they're going to have a couple of those where LeBron and Anthony Davis and maybe DeMarcus just don't even show up. You know what? Don't even show up for the first one. You'll play in the second one.
Well, but you know what, guys? You guys are too young. We never had that word load management. I don't know who invented it. I don't know if it was Greg Popovich or whoever. But, boy, that's a common theme nowadays. And I think the NFL is trying to copy it because they proposed playing 18 games and taking two games off.
Pretty amazing. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But you imagine I know you're a Patriots guy, right, Saint?
Yeah.
You imagine that.
Love Tom Brady.
You imagine Tom Brady not being able to play two games?
No, I think he and Belichick get that done. That's amazing stuff. But hey, that's the way it is nowadays, guys. You know, there's much more in-depth analysis, physiology of exercise. They've got phenomenal training crews, and they can figure out how if guys are fatigued and all that kind of thing. And what it's doing is giving guys who are really terrific players an opportunity to extend their careers. They don't have as many miles on the tires, and they can play longer. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing.
Saint, I want to get into some of the moves that the Warriors have made. Obviously, we know who's not around anymore, but I want to pick your brain as far as the guys that they've added here in just a moment. But I also want to pose a question that I put to Mark here earlier. Is there a number, if you were coaching the Warriors or you were the GM of the Warriors, is there a number that you'd have in mind in terms of total games that you think Stephen Curry and Draymond Green need to play next season to where you're feeling good about being a playoff team? What would that number be if you were either coaching them or you were the general manager?
Well, I would guess somewhere in the vicinity of 70, somewhere around there. And again, that'd be give or take. And that, you know, your margin of error is a lot tighter now with Kevin gone and with Clay hurt. So, you know, with that said, you know, you can't play those guys 40 minutes a night. I love Steve's philosophy. He loves, I don't know, 32 to 34 minutes, and certain nights may play a little bit more. You know, when you've got 4 and 5 nights or 5 and 7, then you've got to cut people down, and he's a big believer in using the bench. But, you know, you got to be careful with those guys because, you know, they're getting older, and keep in mind, 5 years in a row in the finals, that's well over an extra season, maybe 2 that they played. And so with that said, you've got to be careful with them.
Hey, Gary, a question for you that we were also battling and kicking around earlier in the show. There's no question that obviously the Warriors are going to be missing Kevin Durant next season because of his obvious talent, and replacing that's impossible. But given where they're at in the wing position, who do you think's the best option at starting at the 3? Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson III, Alphonso McKinney? How do you kind of see that?
Well, they're all different players. And I don't think they're going to be married to one guy starting at the position. If, in fact, Clay comes back later in the year, I can see him, D'Angelo, and Steph playing together. Those guys are very different, the three of them. You know, Burks, to me, is a guy, he's a good defender. He just hasn't been consistent. He's been hurt. Frankly, to me, he's underachieved, which means you've got a player that maybe is going to play better than he's played the last couple teams. Robinson, to me, the jury's out, and we know who McKinney is. And so then you got to tell me if you're going to have scoring at the 5. If you're not going to have any scoring at the 5, then you're probably going to have to get some scoring at the 3. So it's going to be, you know, managing what you got with, you know, with Willie Cauley, Cauley-Stein, Mooney, and those kind of guys. And as you noted, Mark, you know, you lose Kevin Durant, that's a megastar. And nobody recovers easily from something like that. It's going to be a rebuilding job.
Gary, you being a former coach, I mean, what do you kind of see Steve doing with the different responsibility he has this season? Where in the past it was, you know, obviously he was blessed with having so much all-star talent, but managing, you know, personalities and workload and, you know, putting everyone in a position to succeed while getting them to buy into certain roles. Where here it's, you know, figuring lineup combinations and making the best of certain role players and figuring out how to manage Steph and Draymond in a different setting. How do you see Steve handling that challenge?
Well, I'll tell you guys, the last 5 years, he's just been off the charts. And Mark, you just hit on it. You know, X and O wise, he's very, very good. To me, the key is who he is as a person, his relationships, the respect that goes both ways with coach and player. And when you have the players that they've had, that's underrated task. That's a tough one. And he's done a masterful job. Now, this year, he's going to have more guys with big eyes and big ears listening. You got a lot of veterans that aren't going to be around. And so with that said, he's got a quality staff. And, Mark, I'll be simplistic. I think they're going to try to score. I think they're really going to go up and down. I don't know that they're going to be tremendous in the half-court game, but I think if they can get stops, deflections, defensive rebounds, they're going to go. I think it's going to be an exciting brand to watch. If Steph's healthy, I can see the game. And, you know, I just think that's going to be the road they're going to take to get wins. I don't know that they're going to slow it down and think they're going to beat anybody in the half court.
Saint, what do you think of Willie Cauley-Stein? He's a guy that, you know, when he's right and when he's motivated, when he's you know, doing using the body that he was given, and he can really run and he can dunk and he looks like he could be and should be a good defender, but he hasn't always been. He's a talented guy. If you're coaching him, how do you bring out the consistency in somebody that just hasn't been consistent?
Well, first thing is, he, you know, up in Sacramento, he was with a lot of young guys. There's a culture in that Warrior locker room. And I was reading some comments today that Willie Green made about the opportunity that he had coaching and the, you know, the joy and the work effort that everybody brought every day. I don't know that Willie Stein has been around that enough. For me, he was a restricted free agent. Through his agent, he voiced that he'd just as soon move on. They allowed it. And sometimes when you're a free agent, reality sets in, maybe timing. There weren't a lot of guys banging down the door. And so for him, maybe eye awakening. But on the other side of the coin, a smart move by coming to a team that has a void at the five spot and coming to a team with a great tradition and a great winning culture. Now, what are you going to do? I see him as an inconsistent guy, a little bit like Bell. You know, he can run, he can defend, he can score in the paint. If you give him minutes, he should be a double-double guy. Now, with minutes, underlying minutes, is he going to do that on a consistent basis? I guess he was frustrated and get more opportunities up there in Sacramento. You got to earn those. I don't care who the coach is. So if he comes out and has a great training camp, I think he has a chance to be a very pleasant surprise. I think with he and Looney, you'd have a nice combination there. I think Willie Cauley-Stein is what we call a rim runner on the break. He's going to run rim to rim. Secondly, I think he's a good pick and roll player. I think he can defend and rebound. Now he's got to show people whether he can make a 15 pick and pop. Can he do that? And I'm not quite sure he can. Well, I'm anxious to see that.
Gary St. Jean, our guest here on 95.7 The Game, John Dickinson, Mark Medina, Warriors this week, off-season edition on 95.7 The Game. St., how much do you think the Warriors are going to have to rely on younger players, not only Jacob Evans, and I know they said they wanted to try to do it last year, but it seemed like as soon as Steve Kerr started to do it, you know, he looked over there, he started putting a couple of guys in the game, and I'm sure you've been in this position where
sure.
You put a guy in the game and you're thinking, whoa, you know what, maybe he's not ready for me to quite put him in the game, or we're going to lose if I play him a little too much. And then you abort that mission, and you stick with the guys that you know and trust and are going to win you games. Are we at a point where they're not going to have a choice this year? He's just going to have to do it? And how much do you think Steve Kerr would rely on not only Evans, but maybe Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal and the youngster Smiley Geach, the three guys they just picked?
I'm glad you just pronounced that young guy's name, because I had no idea how to say his name. Smiley Geach?
Smiley Geach.
Pretty good.
Smiley Geach, yeah.
All right, so
you got plenty of time, Sam.
I got to tell you guys something. You don't do what the Warriors did if you don't see something you really like there by giving up those picks to secure his rights. That opened my eyes big. Now, Paschal, you know, my son Greg was with Mully and Mitch at St. John's, so I watched a lot of Big East basketball the last few years. And I really, really like this guy. One, he's got a great NBA body. He's tough. He'll rebound in front of him. He's not going to be a traffic rebound where he's going to go pursue on the other side. He's very, very well coached. He knows what he's doing defensively. He's ahead of the curve there. And, guys, I think he can make a 15 to 18 foot jump shot, and the goal will be to see if he can make a three. And so I really, really like that pick. Poole, to me, I want to see less razzmatazz, and I want to see solid basketball. Played for a great, great coach in John Beilein at Michigan, who's now with the Cavaliers. And I just thought sometimes he got outside of his game. And if he can rein it in with understanding of listening to staff and the coaching staff, what his role is and what to do, I think he's got a skill. He can shoot the basketball. And Evans, you guys touched on, I'll be honest, guys, from what I saw last year, I think the coaches did the right thing. He wasn't ready yet. But yet, just a little discussions with people in the organization, they even see a potential for him to be somewhat of a backup one. So that tells me he's got a good head on his shoulders. From training camp to the end of the year, I would go early to watch guys warm up. John, you're always there. Mark, yeah. You're there. And I look at them and what they're doing and how focused they are. He made some improvement with his shot. I thought it was very flat in the beginning of the year. And I think he's got his legs and hips into the shot, and it looks a lot better. Now, he's going to get an opportunity. Are you going to capitalize on it? That's the key, and you got to earn minutes. They just won't hand it to him. Bringing in a guy like Burks, that gives you competition at that spot with Poole.
Saint, we'll let you get back to the lobster and the oysters and the beach and the water and the wine, right? We'll let you get back
to
all that stuff.
Sometimes, guys, you got to switch it up from the wine, though. Sometimes you got to go to that real cold beverage.
Okay.
And to quench the thirst. Now, when you're back here, you got a lot of options. You've got Sam Adams. I got a buddy next door. I've got him on the anchor steam. He thinks that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So I might go over there and have a couple of those. This is a really rough afternoon here with a lot of pressure. But somehow I think I'm going to get through it.
Well, you've worked hard enough to earn it there, Saint. Just talking to us for a couple of minutes. That's enough to take the next few hours off.
Well, you guys are doing a great job. I love that we're talking about the Warriors in the middle of July. Isn't this something? What's going on in the NBA with all the trades? And we're still on the front page or on all the radio shows all around the country. It's amazing.
Well, as you know, the NBA offseason is the season, right?
Mark, you're right. I mean, it's what's gone on here with this free agency. Hey, guys, I could talk to you for another hour about what the heck's going to go on in the West. I mean, this is going to be amazing. It really is. I just didn't think it could get stronger, but I think it did.
Saint, I got one more for you. I want to play. So we had a contest this week, right, where listeners had to, if you knew somebody, a celebrity, you have them call in, and the biggest celebrity, this was on Damon's show, you win $1,000, right?
So
this
is kidding.
So somebody knew Nelly, right? And yeah. Somebody had Nelly call into the show. So I'm going to play this. So you know, Ray Ratto's on the show. I know you know Ray with Damon. So here's Nelly when Nelly calls in with Damon and Ratto and Kolsky and those guys. I'm going to play this for you.
I'd love it.
Is Ray Ratto there?
He certainly is. What do I have to deny?
Are you still fat?
Oh, I'm immense. I'm shaped like Uruguay. Are you still high?
Oh, God, I love Ray Ratto.
Isn't it great? Isn't that great? And yeah,
it's that is awesome.
Just, yeah.
Hey, Mark, you know what? I'll take you way back. This is with Nelly and Molly, Mitch, and Timmy. And I can't remember all the guys, but we had the best set of writers. I was biased, but they were the best in the country. We just had a lot of fun. And the standard rule was when we all got together, and as soon as we lifted the first glass, everything was off the record.
And, that's a good rule.
My gosh, we had a lot of great times. I mean, from George Shirk to John Hillier to Berge, Purdy, and Del Grande. I'm sure I'm missing some guys. But,
and then Steinmetz showed up and mucked it all up.
Yeah, he started getting in there, and you don't want to get in Nelly's grill. That's not a good idea.
Thanks, Saint.
Hey, guys, have a great day.
All right.
Have a good one.
We appreciate it. Gary St. Cheech joining us here on
95.7 The Game. I don't want to disclose names because off the record's off the record.
Right.
But I had one of these dinners
right.
with someone, with another group of writers during my Lakers years.
Sure.
And just to take you behind the curtain, the reason why off the record is valuable is you get context. You get to know them as people. They get to know you as people. You have a greater understanding on how each profession works. And then, you know, you end up talking about NBA and talking about stuff, and you wind up gossiping about things. But it's all helpful, but it's all off the record. And I just remember a coach had said something that he had thought about a specific thing, and then all of a sudden that topic became in the news the very next
right.
day, and someone had to ask him a question about that. And it's like, I already know what he thinks, and he's not saying it. And I can't call him out on it, and we all just gave each other this funny look.
Right. No, I would imagine that could happen quite frequently.
But you learn a lot of things in the helps.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not about protecting people or sources. It's more – it's an awareness of how things are and how the league operates, and you get a better understanding. It helps give you a broader context of players and what people are thinking, what organizations are thinking while they're doing things. So – the ultimate audience is the reader listener, so it's not like you're hiding things, but, you know, you have a few beverages and it's a lot much different.
Final couple of minutes here. Mark Medina joining me, John Dickinson. Michael Urban is coming up. He's got you covered between 1 and 5, so keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game. Herb's coming up at 1 o'clock after we get out of here. About 3 minutes or so to go here, Mark, on the show. Ron Adams is coming back. This is something I had on the notepad to get to. Is Ron Adams going to be on the bench next year? And to the best of your ability, kind of explain what's going to change with Ron Adams' role.
Yeah, he'll be on the bench. He's been on the bench ever since he's been on Steve Kerr's staff. I'm still waiting to get clarity on the exact details, but in fairness to Marcus Thompson, he had mentioned that it's probably going to be an even bigger teaching role. I'm always under the impression when there's a revised role and, you know, he talks to another team, they get permission, that usually comes with a raise.
Sure.
I think it's safe to say his paycheck's a little bit better.
You're ensuring that you're going to get the raise by
right,
looking
right.
elsewhere.
But the way Ron Adams' role already was is he was the defensive guru. He wasn't, by definition, the lead assistant because Mike Brown was the interim coach whenever Steve Kerr would get ejected or need to miss a game because of his back situation. But I think you almost see Ron Adams as 1A and 1B with Mike, because even if he wasn't doing a head coaching job when Steve was out, he was the most veteran member on the staff, and his voice carries a lot of weight, and he oversaw the defensive side of the floor a lot. So his role increases, but it was already big to begin with.
And he is still going to be on the bench, which
yeah,
I know
he'll be
is
on
something
the bench.
That was something that I know a lot of fans were kind of thinking, well, wait a minute, is he kind of getting pushed to the side? Is
no,
it more of an advisory role?
It's
no,
even
this is
enhanced.
A legitimate, hey, they want more Ron Adams in the mix. And for those of us that are around, I don't know that this is spoken of enough. I know, I mean, everybody's, understands that Ron Adams is important to what the Warriors do. But he's really important on the player development side to begin with. Like, he works with a lot of guys individually even now.
Yeah, he works with a lot of players on the defensive end, you know.
A lot of young players, too.
Yeah, defensive positioning, learning how not to foul, different coverages, X's and O's. But the breakdown here, JD, is, you know, Mike Brown, as I was mentioning, he's available to be an interim head coach if needed. He and Ron Adams help put together the defensive game plan. Bruce Frazier, he is the guy that helps with personal workouts with Steph Curry and was with Kevin Durant. He helps with the shooting aspect. Jaren Collins is a guy that works specifically with the bigs. Willie Green, he just left for the Phoenix Suns to have a bigger assistant coaching spot. He and Chris DeMarco helped with player development. Chris DeMarco is still helping with player development, and from what people are reporting, Theo Robertson, he's on the Warriors staff helping with player development. So that's kind of the breakdown with the specific roles. But Steve Kerr, with all his coaching staff, he's always saying, hey,
let's share scouting responsibilities. If you have any suggestions on lineup, I'm all ears. So it's a very collaborative coaching staff.
Mark, really appreciate your time, man, for the last 4 hours and an opportunity to do this, I think, three or four times throughout the course of the year.
It's
been outstanding. Thanks a lot for coming in, and enjoy your off season.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been fun learning the radio gig with you, and I've enjoyed every time I've been able to co-host with you.
For Gary St. Jean, we appreciate Glenn Robinson III joining us, as well as Mark Spears. For Ryan and Wes, Michael Urban coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.